in prayer, Jesus came, and he answered my prayer one day. He made a way, hey, for me. One day, my life will surely end. I'll bid farewell to all men. Tell Jesus all my ups and downs. Take up my Roman crown. He'll say, my child, well done. He'll raise on a new one. One day, he made a way for me. Jesus, he is a way maker. Jesus, he is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. But in my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me.
To be praised. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to see y'all this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. I just thank the Lord for his many blessings upon all of us. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We open up our service this morning. You know, I have to be honest with you. As we get up and each of us are going through different storms in life or bluebird skies or whatever situation you're in. But as we were getting ready for church this morning and even when we got here, the prayer requests on the text were just popping. And we know there are a lot of needs. There are those a lot that are spoken, but also there are those and so many that are unspoken. And I'm just going to ask you, if you will, let's all pray together this morning as we go to the Lord. And we just want to thank him for his many blessings and for being that waymaker, being the mighty God that he is. But I know there are prayer needs out there. If you have one this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. And we'll continue to lift up those that were brought forward. There was even one that used the word urgent. But we just want to just lift it all up to God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together this morning, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship You, ready to praise You, dear Lord, ready just to experience this service this morning that You have set forth for us. Lord, we thank You for those in attendance this morning, for those watching online. Lord, for those that are sick and shut in, still in the hospitals or at home, those that are recovering from procedures, Lord, those in nursing homes, assisted living, Lord, those that are deployed, those that are working this morning that have no way to get here, Lord, we just lift each and every one up to You this morning, dear Lord. You know these prayer needs. Lord, You see the hands that are raised. Lord, You've heard the spoken and those unspoken. Dear Lord, You know the depths of our heart. Lord, we're lifting each and every situation up to You. Dear Lord, we're asking You to heal, to mend, dear Lord, to protect, Lord, to provide those situations that each and every one needs. Lord, we know that You're the great comforter, the great I Am, dear Lord, and we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Ghost, for Your Spirit, dear Lord, being amongst us at all times in our walk with You. Lord, as we know now, dear Lord, without any shadow of a doubt, that You are a God. Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of our voices or this message this morning and this service that has not turned their life over to You, I pray for them right now, dear Lord. Lord, I ask You to touch them, dear Lord. Let Your Spirit, Lord, just pull them, dear Lord, and just seek them. And I know that Your arms are wide open, ready to receive. And, Lord, for anyone that's lost or troubled or cannot say at this moment that I know that if I die, I'm surely going to heaven. Lord, let them just turn their life over to You and to receive You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, now we just want to honor and praise You. Lord, we ask You to receive every hand raised, every instrument played, every song that's sung, dear Lord, just to be sweet music to Your ears, dear Lord. We're not worthy, but Thou art great. And, dear Lord, we love and praise You. We ask You to bless our pastor and his family. Lord, bless all the ministries going forth from this service, Lord. We'd love to have our children's church up here with us this morning. Lord, we thank them. And, dear Lord, with school season starting, this new school year, dear Lord, we know that Your blessings will be upon each one. Keep them safe. But, dear Lord, we just praise and worship You in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Well, with me being a little slower moving around this morning, I haven't told anybody the song, so I'm going to ask you all at the same time, even musicians, turn to page 212. Keep on the firing line. Praise God. What we're going to do in this journey through this world is put our faith in Him. Keep on the firing line.
Surely you will fly. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers.
seated if you can. Looking forward to what the Children's Church has for us a little later. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. I don't have any announcements up here given to me. We got looking at. Nope. All righty. Well, praise God. Let's all just thank the Lord for just the opportunity He gives us to give of those things that belong all that's His anyway. So we just thank the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. And trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. The lion and the lamb.
the debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. My Jesus paid a debt for me I could not pay. Upon an old rugged tree, hanging there between two thieves, my Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe. And by his love he saved my soul. By his grace I'll make it home. My Jesus paid a debt for me he did not owe.
Them a hand. It's good to have them with us this morning. I believe they've got a drama. Enjoy Children's Church. Give them a hand. Let them know it. Give them some love this morning.
Amen.
Jesus. There's just something about that name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's something powerful about the name of Jesus. How many knows he can? I said, how many knows and believes that he can? He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still saving souls. Regardless of what people think or the majority, God's still in control. Right? There's nothing happening that God does not see. It's time for the church to start believing again in the miracle-performing ability of an almighty God. Amen? Well, who can speak to a cripple? And they stand right up and walk. Who can cause the deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? And who can calm a fevered brow by just saying, let it be? With a little bit of clay, he can touch them in a way that the blinded eyes can see. I'm telling you, he can. I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes tumbling in. Well, church, there's no one. Thank you. the house. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Said, I love him. Amen. Because he first loved me. I didn't really know how to love until Jesus came into my life. Amen. Now, I just can't quit loving him. I can't give him enough love for all that he has done as a testimony and for all that he is going to do by a statement of faith. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, how many came prepared? All right. We need the Word of God. We need the direction of our Heavenly Father. We need his comfort, we need his healing, but we need his direction. In the book of 1 Samuel this morning, I want us to go to the 17th chapter. I want to take my topic or my text from verses 10 and 11. Again, from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Thank you for standing as we read the Word of God. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for the miracles that you've already performed this morning. God, for the healings, for the deliverance, for your anointed presence. Father, we humbly ask this morning, God, that you would anoint this messenger, anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to us this morning. Direct us, lead us, and guide us in the path and the way that you would have us to go. Father, I pray your blessing upon everyone that's in this house today, regardless of what they're going through, regardless of their past, regardless of circumstance and situations. We know that you're a God who's able to do all things. And Father, I pray, God, that this message would go forth this morning, that we'd be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house this morning. For a message text this morning, for a topic, I want to entitle this message, Defeated by Fear. Defeated by Fear. I want to set the stage. You Bible readers already know the situation, and we do. We spend a lot of time on David fighting Goliath. There's been songs written. There's been messages preached. There's been poems. There's been all kind of things. Rightfully so, wonder glorifying the God that was able to direct David. But I want to set the stage prior to the actual fight. Things were happening in Israel. Again, we find Israel disobedient. We find Israel complacent. We find Israel, even the leader, the king that they so greatly wanted to be like other nations, God allowed them to have a king. Now he is vexed with an evil spirit. I want you to notice, he was anointed of God. It was God's choice. He is now vexed with an evil spirit. The enemy has come in and take hold of his joy, stole his victory, took away his peace, and seemingly the only peace that he could get, the only comfort, was from a little shepherd boy who would come in and donate his time and begin to play on the harp and begin to sing psalms to comfort his spirit. You know, it's something to be said when others are comforted by your anointed spirit. You know, the devil may have you thinking, you don't do nothing, you don't belong to anywhere, you don't make a difference, but I will assure you, if you're filled with the power of God, there is such a sweetness in your presence. There's an anointing in your presence that people love to be around you because you're settled. It's good to be settled, amen? We're not settled in our intellect. We're not settled in our power, but we're settled in the fact that we know that there is absolutely nothing that God can't do, and He promised us He won't leave us and He won't forsake us, and He said, I'll make a way even when there's not a way. That's enough of promises to settle us, amen, in our everyday walk with the Lord. So as David played, Saul was comforted, but Saul still had an evil spirit. Now the enemy can detect weakness. He can detect your comfort zone. He can detect when you're not praying enough and when you're not reading and studying the Word of God like you ought to. The devil seizes on these opportunities. The Bible says in the verse number 1 of the 17th chapter, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah. I want you to make a verbal note of that in your heart and in your mind this morning. They were camped out in a place that belonged to Judah. The promised land had no right being there, but they were there. And pitched between Succoth and Azekah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Now, two big, great armies were there standing on one mountainside and the other on the other, looking across the valley. The Bible says that the battle was set in array, meaning they had already made plans. They had set their infantry and their archers and their all of the ones that were ready to fight, and they were ready to go at the sound of the leader's voice. So the Philistines decided to send out their champion. One man. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, one man. One person. One voice, not the majority. You don't understand that. They sent out their champion. And he was a mighty man. Big, a giant. And you can read it for yourself and even do reference and see how big his helmet was, how big his chest or his armor was. Even his spear was so huge that probably an ordinary man couldn't even hardly lift it. And he begins to go out and he begins to challenge Saul and the army of Israel. Send out a man that we may fight. Whoever is the victor, the other side will be their servant. The Bible says it struck fear in Saul and the army of Israel. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now the first arrow hadn't been shot. First spear hadn't been thrown. The first sword had not been raised in combat yet. But here was an entire army struck with fear because of the challenge of one man. And you say, Brother Eddie, but it's a big man. Yeah, but we serve a big God. But Brother Eddie, it's a huge problem. I'm sure it is. But God is a God that can console huge problems and heal and make a way. The Bible says, when there seemeth not a way. Because, I would say to you this morning, because this Saul had allowed this evil spirit, and whatever that evil spirit, whether it was doubt, whether it was disobedience, whatever it was, with unfaithfulness or whatever it was, it caused him somehow to let his faith and trust slip in the never-failing power of an almighty God. And don't sit there and say it can never happen, because it can. Circumstances, situations in our lives sometimes cause us to take our eyes off of God and look at the problem, look at the giant, look at the situation, rather than putting our faith and trust in God. Now, the Saul that I knew earlier in life would have never hesitated. Why?
Because he didn't care how big the giant was. He didn't care how big the army was, because God had been victorious over much bigger armies than the Philistines were, and God had made a way for those who put their faith and trust in him and not go out in their own strength or their own intellect, but go out in the name of the Lord, and they would have been victorious. But a moment's hesitation caused him to defeat or be defeated. It wasn't Goliath that defeated him. It wasn't the Philistine army. It was fear. Fear defeated him ever before the battle began. Fear will defeat you. Fear will tell you you can't do it. Fear will tell you to give up. Fear will tell you there's no use. Fear will tell you God doesn't care. Fear will tell you you're going to always be this way. Fear will tell you I'm going to never get my ends to meet. Fear will tell you there's no way. But let me tell you, the God that I serve can cast out that fear with his perfect love. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. Why was Saul, his army, afraid? They had won bigger battles. You know, if we could see what God sees, the end of the battle, the end of the sickness, the end of the trial, my Lord, we should never doubt at all. But if we could see that, why would we need faith? The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what? Sometimes I tell my wife, man, I can't wait till you fix supper. I'm going to enjoy it. And she ain't even got the frying pan out yet. But I have faith to believe that she's going to fix supper. So much so that I'll go ahead and wash my hands and get prepared. But the church today seems like we don't believe it till we see it sitting on the table. That's not faith. Faith is looking at an empty... Ooh, glory to God. I said faith is looking at an empty table and thanking God for it. Faith is looking at your billfold and saying, how am I going to make ends meet? God, you're going to do it. Faith is saying, you know what? I'm going to get up and praise him anyway. It's been a terrible week, but I'm going to love him, I'm going to thank him, and I'm going to praise him because I'm praising him for the promise that he has given me. Hallelujah. But somehow, Saul lost his vision. He'd lost his faith and confidence in a never-failing God. I believe with all of my heart, if Saul had said charge, the army of Israel would have went down. You got to understand, it wasn't just fighting Goliath. They was fighting Philistine oppression. Where was Saul? Where was the army of Israel when the Philistines went in and took a little portion of Judah? We don't read a whole lot about it. It really wasn't a big thing. Oh, it's just a little portion of land. Yeah, but it was God's promised land to the children of Israel. Can I just pause and say, don't you let the devil take one little portion of your blessing. Don't you give him one little corner in your spiritual life with God. Because I'll tell you something about the adversary. He's not satisfied just taking a little portion of your life. He'll want more and more and more until he's got you totally dismayed and greatly afraid to trust God. So rather than Israel rising up to start with and say, wait a minute, you're not, I know this is a little portion of land, but you're not getting it. We need a church that said, devil, you're not getting my blessing. You're not taking my victory. You can't have my joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It doesn't matter how rough the road, I still got joy. And the joy not comes from circumstance or situations. My joy comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, and no world and nobody can take that from me. Then you say, praise the Lord. But they stood by, let them take Soka. Doesn't mean that much. The land's not that good anyways. Isn't it amazing how we can make excuses? Tell you something. Satan's got no business. I tell you, no business coming into your life. Got no business. You can't appease him. Can't allow him. Can't be friends with him. You got to rebuke him. And don't you rebuke him in my name. He'll laugh at you. Don't you rebuke him in the church's name. He don't care. But when you come in the name of all names, when you come in the name of Jesus and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus, leave me alone. Leave my family alone. Leave my finances alone. Touch not my body. The only thing he understands is authority. But Saul wasn't willing to use it. Let me tell you something. I don't know the number of the Philistines. I don't rightly know the number of the Israelites. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't look at numbers. He just, in fact, he specializes when the odds are against him. You know why? So he can get the glory. He wants to get the glory. He sent an army. He sent 42,000 back home. Amen, because he said, your army's too big, Gideon. Just give me 300 men. We'll go win the battle. But somehow Saul had forgotten. And Saul was a head and shoulder, I think, taller than any of the other Israelites. Which doesn't mean anything. Because a little old bitty boy who'd never had any experience in battle whatsoever. He was an armor bearer a little bit for Saul, but he had to go back to his father's house to feed the sheep. He's an old farmer boy. No military training whatsoever. But he had something that Saul forgot about. He had faith in God. He knew God would be victorious. Defeat was not even a word that was in his vocabulary. By the way, there's some words we need to get out of our vocabulary. Church, we do. I'm not going to give them to you. If you want to ask me about them, come talk to me sometime. Because I'm still working on trying to get some of them out of my vocabulary. I don't like the word I can't. I don't like that. That's a given. My daddy used to say, can't never could. I can't. I like this. God can. God can. Brother, how are you going to make it? God can. God can do the impossible things that man is not able to do. They let one man strike fear in the entire army, dismayed and greatly afraid. Can I break that down for you a little bit? They were worried, alarmed, and very fearful. And we say, they shouldn't have been that way. Have you ever been worried? You ever been alarmed? Very fearful? We're a church of believers. Man, we're a church that experienced the amazing grace of God. We have Him abiding in our life, in our spirit, to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us. Why worry? Why be dismayed? I got confidence. God's going to see me through. Amen. And my confidence is not in myself, but it's in an all-powerful God. They were worried, alarmed, and very fearful. Isaiah 41 and 10 tells us explicitly, fear not, or fear thou not, for I am with you. Not I was, or not I will be, but I am. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, he's there. Whatever I face, he's there. No matter what I go through, he's there. When I go to bed at night, he's there. When I get up in the morning, he's there. When I'm traveling to my job, he's there. Amen. When I'm at my darkest problem, he's there. Glory to God. When I'm facing the doctor and the doctor don't give me good news, he's there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, he is with us every moment of every day. Praise God. If you're thankful for that, give him a hand clap of praise. Am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not worried. Be not alarmed. Be not fearful. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's in God's word. Do we sometimes have spiritual amnesia? And forget about God's promises. Forget about God's word. It's a natural thing we do because we're looking at the giant. Boy, that's a big old thing. Look at the size of that spear. And that's what Saul was looking at. They was looking at what they'd already classified as an impossibility. You probably already know the rest of the story. I'm not ready to go. Sometimes we got to learn to put our faith and trust in God before we can see the rest of the story. Because the first part of the story don't look too good sometimes. Can I get an amen? Sometimes the trial itself doesn't look too good. Sometimes that giant is huge, big, fearful, rough talking. But God is bigger. Than anything. Bigger than anything. And the Bible says, tells us also that perfect love casts out fear. And the Bible says God is love. Amen. If you got God, you got love. I said, if you got God, you got love. I mean the love of God you got in your life and in your spirit. You love one another like God said. He also tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? We tell you, God is for us. Doesn't matter who stands. It's amazing to me. And I shared this with Brother Chris this morning. I want you to see the battle one more time. Here's the Philistines on this side of the valley, and here's the army of Israel over here, and here's this giant who came out for 40 consecutive days, morning and evening, and had the same challenge. This wasn't just a one-day affair. Came out for 40 days, challenged them. And I want you to understand, he came out by himself, maybe his armor bearer. One man, big, yeah. Trained for battle since his childhood, probably so. That's all he ever knew. But I will assure you, when God is with us, if we would attack the enemy the very first day, you wouldn't have to go through 40 days of pain, 40 days of fear, 40 days of worry, 40 days of dismay, 40 days of wringing your hand, 40 nights of sleeplessness. Amen. If we would attack Satan as soon as he comes, amen, with our God on our side and know that we're more than able to conquer him because God has made us, given us the ability to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Can you say praise the Lord this morning for the power that God has instilled in the church? But so many times, we stand back on the mountain waiting for somebody else to take care of the situation. So for 40 days, this went on. No one in the entire army of Israel stepped forward and said, I'll go out. And I'm thinking, if you know the end of the story, all that the army of Israel had to do was just charge down the hillside. But somebody needed to take the first step. And they wouldn't do it. That is, until a little shepherd boy showed up, pulling a little carriage with some food for his brothers and to get some news how the battle was going to take back to his father Jesse. And he gets there, nothing's going on. Except he hears the voice of this Philistine standing in the valley, ranting and raving and calling the army of Israel and Saul everything that he can think of. One man. In the name of Jesus, I want these lips, Father, to speak only that that you would have us to speak. And allow me this statement. Why is it that a nation founded on the principles of God itself will stand on top of the mountain and let the voice of a minority dictate to the majority when it wasn't God's purpose? And somebody stands up there and says, somebody ought to tell him to hush. Somebody ought to go down there and straighten him out. But somebody never showed up until a little shepherd boy pulling a little carriage with some food, puts the carriage in the hands of the keeper, goes out, expects to see a great battle. You know what a teenager would think? Man, this is going to be exciting. But nothing's happening. Can I just say, if people come into our church and nothing's happening, they expect to see a victorious church worshiping, glorifying, and praising God. Seeing miracles performed, seeing souls saved, seeing people baptized, seeing a mighty move of God. We're not here to entertain one another. We're here to worship God. And David walks out and nothing's going on. And he begins to question what's happening. He hears the voice of this giant. I want you to notice, David never refers to him as a giant. I looked to make sure. He never referred to him as a giant. He's just another Philistine. What did he say? He said, he didn't say, I'll go out and fight this big old huge giant. He said, I'll go out and fight this Philistine. Because in the eyes of faith, come on, that giant just looks like another little spirit. In the eyes of faith, that impossibility that you have worked on for 40 days and couldn't dip, make ends meet, or couldn't work it out, it's nothing more than one more opportunity for God to be God in your life and perform a miracle for you. So David goes to Saul. The first thing Saul wants to do is weigh him down with what the church believes. You see, don't put your faith in the church. Put your faith in the God of the church. No, you need this helmet. You need this breastplate. You need this armor. David's a little teenage boy and it's weighting him down and he can't even hardly walk. And he said, I can't use these. I haven't proven them. But I tell you what I have proved. I proved that I was out in the pasture taking care of my dad's sheep and this lion came up and I went against him in the name of God, in the name of my Lord. And I took him and I slew him. And your servant also, when a bear came out to steal the sheep, I went after him in the name of the Lord. And this is nothing more than one more opportunity for me to go out and face this Philistine in the name of the Lord. I don't need your helmet. I don't need your sword. I don't need your armor. Just going to use what I'm comfortable with, what I've proven. And his brothers just stand there. He'll never make it. He deserves to get what he asked for. One less mouth to feed when we go home. He's just a show off. Look at him. He wants all the attention. They just didn't know the spirit of David. It was never about David. I love the songs. I love the poems. It was never meant to be about David. He was just an instrument in God's hands. We ought to be praising the God of David. Amen. The way that God came on the scene, David. I want to just throw this out hypothetically. God can do for you and with you the same as he did for David. You'll put your faith and trust in him and not be afraid to step out on faith. So David goes and he takes his little shepherd bag and he goes down and gets five stones. And there's been all kind of analogies why he gets five stones. I'm just going to pause and say, wouldn't you if you was fighting a giant? I got a little faith. A lot of faith would have been one stone. I'm just going to go on the safety side and say, I'm going to get me four extras. Somebody said he had four brothers. That may have been the case. He might have been. Who knows? But it didn't take but one. It didn't take but one. So Goliath pokes and makes fun at him and, you know, says, am I a dog? Did you come out with a staff? David said, you come to me with spear, sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now that was the sermon that the children of Israel, the army of Israel, needed to hear. And you know what? They should have been all behind him. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Preach it, Brother David. But they're still standing up there looking. Kind of like the rest of an automobile does if the starter ain't working. Man, I'm full of gas. I'm ready to go. Got a high-performance engine. I wish somebody would get this thing started. It's amazing when one person gets things started, the rest of the church kind of moves in and gets into it. Amen. But sometimes we're standing on the hill watching. So David goes down into the valley. Doesn't ask for any help. Doesn't ask for any. Come on, boys, go with me. Doesn't ask for that. Why? Because God was with him. And you know the story. I'm not going to dwell on the story itself. He was victorious. He took the stone. With one stone, he slung the stone, you know, and it hit its mark. It hit directly where it needed to hit to put the giant down. But you know what he killed him with? He killed him with his own weapon. He killed him with a weapon that Goliath meant to kill Israel with, meant to kill Saul. He drew his sword, he cut off his head, picked up his head, and gave honor and praise to Almighty God. Hallelujah. One little shepherd boy. And you know what happened then? Church had revival. God in lifting up the name of the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. You said, Brother, I don't read that. Well, it happened this way. When Goliath fell, and the little shepherd boy cut his head off, Saul and the entire army of Israel ran down the hill. The Philistines turned tail and began to run. They left and they run plumb out of Shochem. And the children of Israel, the army of Israel, went after them and totally annihilated them and spoiled their tents and took back everything that the enemy had taken. Because one believer, I said one believer, look what one believer can do. Look what one believer can rally an army, can rally a support. But in all honor and glory goes to God. But we as a people today are defeated by fear. And Satan knows that. And that's the reason that he's using fear tactics. Many years ago, when I was just a little boy, we were living through the Cold War experience. We had some of the safest, most impenetrable desks that have ever been constructed in the United States. We were told, if in fact Nuclear war breaks out. Run and get under that desk to protect you. Stay away from the windows, but get under the desk. And the leader of Russia, Khrushchev at the time, said, "We will bury America without firing a shot." America said, "Yeah, right, in your dreams." And we see that same type enemy today. Not talking necessarily about countries or wars or enemies. I'm talking about Satan. Satan's trying to bury the church without throwing the first spear, without shooting the first arrow, or without taking the first shot. He wants you dismayed. He wants you worried. He wants you fearful. And he wants you greatly afraid. Afraid of everything. Afraid to get out. Afraid to go somewhere. Afraid to do this. Afraid to do that. We're afraid. You know what? The God that I serve is more than able. I said the God that I serve is more than able to see us through. If you believe that, give him praise this morning. Come on, lift it up for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We will be victorious. We are winners through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's never lost a battle. He's not going to lose one now. Church, it's time to believe again that God is greater than any problem. God is greater than any trial. God is greater than any sickness or affliction that the enemy might try to attack us with. If you would stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to or tell you what to pray, but I would like for us to ask this question. God, if I become fearful in my life, Lord, I know and I put my faith and trust in you, but Lord, have I let my guard down? Am I afraid of things in the happening in the world and not putting my faith and trust in you? Lord, have I taken my eyes off of you and I'm looking at that giant and I'm looking at that problem and that issue, whatever that issue may be? God, from this day forward, help me to focus only on you. Help me to take my eyes off of the problem and put it on the problem solver. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm sorry that I took my eyes off of you. I'm sorry that I doubted you. Give me stronger faith. Help me to put my faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, this opportunity, this altar is open for you. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to be more consecrated, if you need to give more power, amen, to your life through faith in Jesus, this altar is open to you. And if you're lost today, no wonder you're having such battles. If you hadn't completely surrendered your life and your soul and your spirit to Jesus Christ, that's where your help comes from. And that's where your spiritual life exists. Would you come? Let us pray with you. Please, no looking around. Please reverence the Spirit of God that's in this place. The one this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you brothers, come. Support our brother here. Encourage him. Let him know that God's going to fight the battles for him. Is there others that would come? If you don't come, would you pray for those that are in the altar this morning? Let's believe right now. Let's believe for a mighty God to intercede on our behalf.
God strengthened him. God has stirred him right now. God, that you're going to stand with him in adversity, through issues, through problems, through sickness, through affliction. God, you won't leave him and you won't forsake him. God, strengthen his spirit.
Hallelujah. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. And without him, I would be drifting.
like a ship without a sail. If you know his name, sing it with me. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, Jesus. Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Have a blessed day. If you don't know the Lord, please ask Jesus into your life before it's everlasting too late. Service tonight, 6 o'clock. Looking for a great time.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I hope that stays in your heart right now, that song. We sing out Jesus, his message this morning. God knows what we need to hear. I know I say that frequently because it's so true. Because with him as our God, who else? What else could come against us? Just have him on the inside. Just let the Lord live. Yes, Sister Linda. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 God is great. So worthy to be praised in everything that we do. All hearts and minds clear. You know, I just want to go ahead and just extend the offer. This altar is still open. If anyone needs prayer, if anyone has a need, just don't go home without. You're giving it to the Lord, and we'll pray with you as long as it takes. Choir practice at 5 p.m. this evening. What a wonderful way. Yes, ma'am. People. There's so many families in need right now. God knows who they are. And all the prayer requests. We want to thank the Lord for answering prayers. We're also going to lift up these other prayer requests, these other needs, and just continue to lay it in the precious hands of Jesus. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this message this morning, for your word that's gone forth. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, dear Lord. I thank you for each and every one in attendance this morning and those watching on the feed. Lord, we just love each and every one. And dear Lord, we ask you now, we thank you for answering these prayers. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask for your blessings. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. We just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ida Bell's Tuesday night, choir practice this evening, 6:30, and choir's practice this evening at 5. Love y'all.